Money FM 89.3, Best of the Evening Runway. Under the Radar.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and it's now time for Under the Radar with me, Chua Tian Tian. Improving the safety and security of livestock herds by ensuring traceability across the animal's life cycle. That's what we are talking about. Now, founded in 2013, our guest is ChipSaver, an Internet of Things company that offers real-time cattle tracking solutions that captures useful data, such as the current and historic health, the behavior and transaction information of livestock. Now, by understanding where animals are, how they are feeding, and how they are behaving, ChipSaver says farmers can isolate issues and prevent catastrophic loss of livestock due to disease outbreaks. Now, it could also better increase the efficiency and sustainability of operations. Now, aside from that, the firm also aims to tackle the issue of cattle theft, which is an issue prevalent in markets such as Kenya, given that many farmers rear their animals in open ranges that are susceptible to rustling. Now, with Markets and Markets estimating the agriculture Internet of Things market to grow from $11.4 billion in 2021 to $18.1 billion by 2026, at a CAGR of 9.6% during the forecast period, what opportunities does ChipSaver see in this space, and are they mostly located within agricultural-based economies? How can its solutions be adapted for modern farmers within Asia? Well, lots of questions, and for more, I've got with me in studio Victoria Alonso Perez, founder and CEO at ChipSaver. Victoria, welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Great to have you on board. And Victoria, we've briefly talked about ChipSaver as an Internet of Things company that offers real-time livestock tracking solutions. I believe it captures useful data like current and historic health, feeding behavior, transaction information to increase the efficiency of farming. So let's hear from you. What is the problem that ChipSaver aims to solve here?
Yes, with ChipSaver, we have, as you were saying, we have a platform where we can monitor livestock remotely at any time and place, specifically for very big extensions of land, so animals that are very big extensions of land. And what we provide the farmers is they can become more efficient and then therefore have more sustainable practices and also reduce the operational costs. One of the main reasons why people contact us, farmers, is cattle theft. Yeah. That is, unfortunately, a very big issue all over the world, you know, especially in the developing world. And so being able to locate animals, it's a very important thing for them. You have to think that in many cases with farmers, sometimes they don't really see their animals more than two or three times per year. That's something weird to understand living here in Singapore, but it's a common thing that that the animals roam around very big extensions of land and they do not know where they are.
Oh, so they do not see the animals just two or three times a year. That's all.
Yes,
that's all
yes.
The monitoring.
Sometimes, yes, because it's these farms are very, very big. You have to think about thousands of hectares.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they have a lot of livestock roaming around and it's hard to know where they are.
Now, in more granularity, Victoria, how would you then describe the products and services you provide? Do you provide the chips that are worn by animals, some would say injected into animals, or do you provide the GPS monitoring systems and other sensors, or you provide everything?
What we have in the platform is we have two components. First, we have the hardware component, which is a device. It's external, it's not injected. And it's attached to a strap that goes around the neck of the animal. Mm-hmm. So on the it's a collar.
Yeah.
And that collar, that device transmits information about GPS location and about the behavior of the animal. Sends all that information to an antenna. And then from that antenna, it sends to our software. We have a full standalone management platform that the farmers can use to see where the animals are at all times, also to receive an alert if there's an anomaly in the behavior of the animal or if the animals are outside of a perimeter, which is for cattle theft, as we were talking before, and to prepare better for their operations.
Don't mind me asking two things. One is, how do you monitor animals, especially when it comes to cattle theft, when they could take out the collar because it's external? And the second part of it is, how do you then measure perimeters like feeding behavior? Do you also have sensors at the feeding points per se?
We do not have sensors for the feeding point. There are other partners of ours that they do have, so we can integrate other sensors. But one of the things that it's a very good question about, well, what happens if they take out the sensor? Then we can detect because of the movement. There's a lot of movement when you have to open. I mean, you have to think that this is also very complicated because these are animals that are kind of wild. I mean, they are in the middle of a big extension of land. They basically are behaving like wild animals. So it's not so easy to really get to the animal unless you kill the animal. But in that case, we can detect it because of the stress that the animal is feeling.
You reminded me how hard it is just to put on a harness on my dog when she's just jumping all around excited to go out for a walk. But given the products and services ChipSaver offers, Victoria, how would you describe your value proposition and business model? And what is your positioning strategy in the IoT industry?
So our value proposition is to basically provide help farmers feel more secure and, you know, know where the, by knowing where the animals are and lower their environmental impact, but also having traceability of the animal across the animal life cycle. In terms of the competition, when we started, this was like over 11 years ago, we were one of the only ones. Now there is a lot of competition. So definitely we have to keep innovating all the time. And I think a very interesting thing is we're partnering with a company called New Space that is here in Singapore. They are building satellites. People do not know that here in Singapore there is a company building satellites, but there is. And what the technology that they have is one that our sensors can talk directly to the satellites. So because of that, we would not need the antenna, because right now how it works for us and for most of our competitors is that the sensors transmit to an antenna and the antenna goes to the satellite. And you might think, well, what's the problem with that? The problem is that in very big extensions of land, like think rural area, there is no connectivity. It's very hard to install an antenna. It has to be installed with certain regulations at very high point. It needs to have power. And so, yes, if we do not have that, then our market can be bigger because we can also, like, you know, the animals can be transmitting from anywhere in the world and we do not need that constraint of putting an antenna.
So in terms of more vertical integration and technology being your positioning, and let's talk about the status right now, right? Victoria, you mentioned that ChipSaver was founded 11 years ago back in 2013, but I understand it started production only in 2020 amid the pandemic. So what happened between 2013 and 2020 then?
I think that's a great question. And as I said before, we started 11 years ago. And when I started, I remember I had this idea. And first thing you do when you have an idea, you know, you go online. I went online, I checked what there was available, and I was surprised there was nothing available. Like there was no cattle tracker. And the only things I could find were some wildlife trackers. And those were very expensive. We're talking about thousands of dollars per tracker and very complicated. And you need to think that a cow is worth many times $1,000 or even less. And so those trackers were more expensive than the animal. So I started thinking, well, why is there that there is no a sensor that for this market? And I realized that the issue was that these cattle are in the middle, are in very remote areas. They need to be transmitting and receiving information. But at the same time, the system needs to be recharging by itself. Because you can't just take out the collar and go put it in the grid like you would do with your smartwatch. And I realized that there was not that technology. But at the time, I was working with small satellites. So CubeSats, these are like a shoebox that you launch into space. And that is the same similar problem. It needs to be transmitting and receiving information while recharging by itself. So I kind of grabbed this, you know, CubeSat and grabbed the power system, particularly the solar cells, and transformed it into a wearable that the animals could wear. And we were the first, you know, with this type of technology. And I think that's technology-wise, electronics-wise, it was kind of okay. But then the design, it was also something that the animals had to wear.
Yes.
And so these are wild animals. There is weather. There is mud. There is bumps. We encountered all sort of things. Like, you know, even we found out animals just like to go to the water just to have fun. And so something I at least didn't know. And so that took a lot of iterations.
Yes.
And that's something that I generally say, innovation takes time. Like, you know, we were the first. So getting to that product was hard, and it took a lot of times. It was great experience. We learned a lot in the process. But there's a difference when you have a hardware component or when you have a software component. With the software that we have, like farmers would tell us, oh, you know what, I would like to see the animals at this way. And we would go back to our engineers, and in a few weeks we would have that solved. However, with the hardware, it was like every time going back to the laboratory, it could be 6 months, plus the trials on the field, plus seeing if the animals, how they would behave. So it did take a lot of time because of that. But that I think that that's one of the things that I tell entrepreneurs, especially the ones that are doing something that has hardware.
Yeah.
Innovation takes time. So for me, it was, even though it sounds like a lot of time, for the time that it took to create something that didn't exist before, it was actually normal time.
Well, I can hear the amount of trial and errors you guys did through this conversation.
You have no idea.
This conversation. I can imagine how hard it is. It is crucial to mention that you do have a background in space technology. You were working on satellites at one point, yeah? And let's talk about ChipSafer right now, right? We've talked about it, ensuring traceability of livestock and aiming to tackle the issue of cattle theft in Kenya. But at this point in time, what is your scale of operations? How many markets, geographical markets, are you in? Are they mostly limited to the African continent? Are we talking about Asia as well?
Yeah. So when I started the company, I am originally from Uruguay. So we started in Uruguay. Then I moved to Brazil because Brazil has 200 million heads of cattle.
Yeah.
That's something not a lot of people know. Uruguay has 13 million heads of cattle and only 3 million people. So, you know, there is markets with a lot of animals. Then I moved to the headquarters to Singapore in 2020.
Yes.
We started in doing some projects in Australia. And now we are moving into targeting more the United States and Southeast Asia. The reason about Southeast Asia is because we are, first of all, we have the headquarters here, so it makes it very convenient, but also because the company that we're working with, NewSpace, with this new technology that I think it's a very big advantage, transmitting directly to satellites, at this moment is targeting the equatorial region. Hopefully in a few years, we will have the whole constellation to be able to monitor around the world. And just about the Africa, unfortunately, we're not in Africa at the moment, but we did some amazing trials there. We did pilots in Kenya and in Namibia.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, those were very, very interesting because what we were trying to show, we did these pilots with the company SES. It's one of the two top satellite operations in the world. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to show that our sensors could transmit to an antenna and then to satellites, and we could show that. But the most important about these pilots were the things that we actually learned, which that is something I starting the company in Uruguay, never thought we were going to do. For example, the fact that we were in Kenya once and we see that all the animals, all the livestock is moving to a place they shouldn't be moving. And so we go and we check, and it's because there were lions around.
Whoa.
So there was a lion that had attacked a calf, and that's why they all moved to an area they shouldn't have. And so I was like, oh my God. We can. I would have never thought that we could, like, you know, check where lions were based on this. And another thing that was very interesting about those trials were, at the time, there was a big drought in the region. And because of that, a lot of livestock is very important to a lot of people.
Yes.
It's their way of, like, you know, getting food, too. And so a lot of the people that had livestock, they had a few heads of cattle. The animals didn't have a place to go and graze. They didn't have food because of the drought. And so there were two options for these people. One was to go to another farm and use that mm-hmm. that was supposed to be used for the wildlife or other animals. And then there would be conflict. Mm-hmm. So they were called illegal grazers, and there would be conflict with the other farmers, and it was pretty bad. And then if not, they would get a night and start yeah. stealing the livestock. And so when I was there, the idea was to track the livestock so that it would not get stolen. And I was told when I'm there, like, yo, please do not tell people that you're tracking the livestock because then your life could be in danger. And I was like, oh, my God. But it was very interesting to understand yeah. the potential that technology can have. And for me, it was one of the most important experiences to show how everything is very interconnected.
Yes.
So you have biodiversity that is interconnected with humans, and that can create conflict. And so the importance of really working on technologies that can mitigate climate change is so important.
And also talking about the business environment as well. You talked about lions there. You talked about the people who would, you know, potentially put your life in danger when you're tracking livestock. But I do want to talk about what's happening on the demand side, Victoria. I know you said that you're moving to Singapore because your ecosystem partners, your suppliers are all around the region. But your main clients are in Latin America and Australia. Even though you're looking at cattle theft, which is prevalent in Kenya. So who are your customers at this point in time? What is the average deal size? Where are they located in?
We are working right now with premium animals, with mm-hmm. big farmers, big yeah. ranchers. Unfortunately, we can't be more widespread because of the cost.
Yes.
Still, the cost of technology, it hasn't gone to a point in which, mm-hmm. you know, it would be effective for a lot of farmers. Like, you have to think that farmers, they do have big extensions of land. They do have a lot of animals, but they don't really have a lot of cash in many times. So right now, that is kind of like one of our biggest constraints is the cost of the technology. So we are targeting the bigger farmers, the bigger ranchers, or commercial operations. Yeah. But hopefully in the future, now that we don't need, for example, the antennas, or we hope the technology will start getting a little bit cheaper, then we could be more widespread and target other markets.
And don't mind me asking this, Victoria, when we talk about Africa, your eyes lit up, big opportunities there, but the business environment is very challenging and the culture certainly doesn't support the tracking of cattle, even though it's a big issue. Now, looking at Southeast Asia, where you're at, you've got your ecosystem players, you've got Singapore as a tech hub, but certainly the market doesn't seem to be as big as what it is in, you know, in Africa and the other markets. How do you then balance which markets to go into and to focus your operations?
I think that being in Singapore, you know, we can manufacture here, we can design here, and then sell to anywhere in the world. For us, a very important thing is to have a partner on site. Like, we try not to go to markets where we don't have that because it's very complicated. I mean, you have to think about customs and, you know, like there is a lot of issues there. So yeah, so right now, if we had only a software component, it would be, I think, a little bit easier. But having the hardware, we try to prioritize places where we have someone, a partner.
If you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Victoria Alonso Perez, founder and CEO of ChipSaver. And taking a look at the wider business environment, Victoria, we have markets and markets estimating the agriculture Internet of Things industry or market to grow from $11.4 billion in 2021 to $18.1 billion by 2026. Now, that translates to a CAGR of 9.6% during the forecast period. How far do you agree with the assessment? What is the growth trajectory for ChipSaver and the key drivers of growth then?
To be honest, I'm not that familiar with those numbers, but I can believe them. I mean, I'm more familiar with livestock because inside of agriculture, you have agriculture farming. I'm more on the farming side. But I think that now we have two things that are going to make the market, create more market opportunities. Yeah. One of them is the satellite constellations that are going up. We have the SpaceX satellite, like Starlink. We have other satellite constellations, like the one of New Space too.
Yes.
All of these constellations, I think that what they are going to bring is connectivity to the unconnected. So right now, for me, it's mind-blowing to think about it, but over 2 billion people are not connected to the internet.
Wow.
And that is like right now, you know, we're streaming. and at the same time, there is people, 2 billion people that are not connected. And so, and especially that is in the rural areas. So with these satellite constellations, now all these people will be able to be connected. The other thing that is important to note is the AI. Now AI is going to have a very big impact in 3 areas. One of them is education, another one is healthcare, and the other one is agriculture. And in particular, these 3 areas are going to be so important for the rural sector. I think it's going to become like an equalizer in which everybody will be able to have the same professional services that you would be able to have in the city, which right now doesn't happen, unfortunately. So I do believe that there is going to be a lot of opportunities business-wise in terms of technology for the agricultural sector with all these new advances. But also the most important than that is the impact that that will bring. So it's great because it's going to be kind of social entrepreneurship, you know, in which you're making a business, you are increasing your revenue, but at the same time, you're also creating a big impact.
I know earlier in the conversation, we've talked a lot about developing markets, both in Africa, Southeast Asia, and even in other parts of the world as well. But increasingly, we are seeing emphasis on modern farming solutions in markets, particularly like within Asia and Singapore as well, especially after global supply chain disruptions were seen over the pandemic. Now, how far can your products be adapted for high-tech farmers that rear animals in smaller space? Because I would assume that would have a different set of challenges, like a disease breakout in closed spaces. So how would adapting to the modern farmer be a key opportunity for ChipSafer?
Right now, we do not have sensors for smaller operations, but we do work with partners. Like, for example, here in Singapore, there is a company called PTS. And that company is, I didn't know this, but they are making sensors for all types of animals. So they are making sensors, for example, for poultry operations, and they are selling all over the world. They are also making sensors for sheep. They are making ear tags for and boluses. That is a sensor that goes inside of the animal for cattle. So that's how we can collaborate. So I think that in Singapore, there is a lot of opportunities of collaboration with other companies. And I am very, very excited to see all the different technologies that are happening right now here.
And I assume there will be more opportunities to grow, given that it's a bit more investment light when you work with other partners as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And very exciting here because Victoria, the World Intellectual Property Organization, said in 2022 that ChipSafer received seed funding in the form of a grant from the Uruguayan National Agency for Research and Innovation. The firm is also part of the Singapore Space and Technology Accelerator. Now, what would you say is the value of working together with these players?
An interesting thing about my company is that we never had investment. Like, we never had private investment. We always bootstrapped. Yeah. Every single one of our pilots was a paid pilot, which I think is very important because then you can have the real feedback of the customer. But another thing is we depended a lot on grants and on prices. So when we just started in 2012, we got this grant from the Uruguayan Agency of Innovation, which was so important. I think that those grants are so important for when you want to just start your company. Then we were very lucky to have prices, like, for example, from the Inter-American Development Bank. With that, we could start a small production back when I was in Uruguay and in Brazil. Then we had a prize from Chivas Regal, the whiskey. But they did this global competition, which was great. And I met so many other amazing entrepreneurs. And then here in Singapore, SSTL, Singapore Space and Technology, has really been amazing for us. They were the ones that brought us here and introduced us to new space and introduced us to this whole ecosystem of other space companies which are developing great things and that we can partner with. And they also introduced us to Enterprise Singapore. So we did get a grant in 2020 to start our production, which was great for us. So I think all of these accelerators, grants are super important to foster innovation because many times when you think about investment, investment firms generally, they are like, for example, now, like some years ago, everybody was into fintech. Like you said the word fintech and you would get money.
That's Web3, AI.
Yes, now it's AI. But I've been saying, since I started the company in 2012, I've seen so many trends.
Yeah.
At some point, it was a trend of IoT and, you know, and the cattle, like everybody seemed to be doing cow tracking. And that was not true. Mm. A lot of people were claiming to do it, but not. But yeah, so because of that, because sometimes there is trends in which investors go for a very good reason. I mean, because you want to get returns and these are industries that create return. But then there is other industries that are very important for the economy, but and also for innovation and for impact that also needs the help of, you know, maybe other venues that are a bit overlooked by the investment firms.
Wow, really, really exciting. I can't help but say that multiple times. Before we let you go, Victoria, what are some future plans for ChipSaver for the year of 2024, be it in Asia, Singapore, or elsewhere around the world?
I think our biggest aim is to keep developing this technology that can work with the satellites. That is very important for us because we do believe that it will open a lot more markets. So keep working on that and keep trying with the US market and with Southeast Asia with the leads that we have.
All right. Exciting days indeed. Thanks a lot, Victoria. That was Victoria Alonso Perez, founder and CEO at ChipSaver. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.